If you're a fan of spooky, gory, bloody, creepy things, you're going to love today's episode.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Goddess Hangs.
Episode 96.
Woo! If you reverse that, you get 69. I'm Sadie.
And I'm Juliet. Obviously.
And we created the Goddess Hangs podcast to make the world of mindset, magic, and manifestation more relatable
and fun.
96. One more month and we'll be at 100 episodes. Four more episodes.
Unbelievable.
Crazy.
So exciting.
Or three more after this. Crazy, crazy, crazy.
So exciting.
So, welcome to, I was going to say, day two, week two of our Halloween series. Mm-hmm. If you're not watching, I'm dressed as a cheetah today. And Juliet, what are you dressed as?
I am paying homage to my past life as a scullery maid, except I've kicked it up a notch. And I'm wearing the cutest little French maid costume. So head on over to YouTube if you want to see us all costumed out.
I kind of giggle with, like, because we clip these up, you know, and then there's no context to us, like, being in costume.
Well, it's October. That's the context.
Yeah, for sure. We have a really fun episode today planned. Juliet learned all about the history of werewolves, where that myth come from. Are they real? I can't wait to find out. And I made lots of notes and learned all about the history of vampires, which is one of my favorite subjects, so much so that I took a course on it in college, and I actually have
the textbook
Vampires in Literature and Film, edited by Tomislav Longanovich. And fun fact, there was a Facebook group that everyone that was in this class joined, and it was called, I think it was called, like, Tomislav is a Real Vampire. And there was, like, everyone would share why they, like, really genuinely thought this professor was a vampire. He was kind of spooky, and he had
is that
his,
him?
No, this is
no,
Nosferatu. But kind of similar. But he had, you know, like, an Eastern European accent, and I can't remember where he was from. It might have been Romania. And the whole class was just a hoot. Before every big exam, the class before, he would go through every single question and tell you the answer. So you just had to memorize it.
What a guy.
But we all learned so much because we were all genuinely interested, you know? Mm-hmm. It was great. But before we dive into today's topic, Juliet, what's new with you?
What's new with me? Well, I do have a funny story that's super gross, but it's funny.
Okay, can't wait.
So I went to the spa yesterday, and I'm not going to say the name of the spa because I am embarrassed at what I did there. And aside from taking a...
Am I about to do a spit take? I was drinking water.
Oh, maybe.
Should I put water in my mouth and see what happens?
I'll tell you when. So, it's this new special massage that they have. I'm used to getting, like, the normal Swedish full body relaxation massage. Well, this one was... It included singing bowls. And I thought, oh, that's right up my alley.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I could tell that it wasn't up everyone's alley, because when I got there, they were like, do you want us to explain what it is? Has somebody told you what to expect? I was like, this is an odd vibe. And then afterwards, they said, so, like, what did you honestly think? Like, we need to ask. I guess people don't like it. Because I was expecting, and this is not the funny part, I was expecting somebody to massage me and then, you know, when I'm in the deepest state of relaxation, just play some singing bowls. No, no, no. They stack them on your body and then bong, bong, and you're the table for it. I'm like, this is a little strange.
Oh, I feel like that'd feel good.
Yeah, it was, I guess.
I mean, when you're expecting a massage, it's not what you wanted, but that, yeah. I mean, it does sound cool if that's what you expected.
It was overall cool, but here's where things got messy. So it was an 80-minute massage, and, you know, before you do, like, a sauna and a steam room, and you're thirsty as heck, so I drank so much water. So we're like 40 or 50 minutes into this massage, and I'm like, I'm so sorry. She has like, I'm covered in sheets. I have like things on my eyes. I said, I'm so sorry. I really have to pee. Like, could I please go to the bathroom? She's like, yeah, yeah, of course. So this sweet woman, and I am in a complete daze.
Yeah.
Like sleepwalking down this hallway in a robe. My hair is everywhere because I had to pee so bad. I said, I'll just be 1 minute. I'll just be, thank you. And she's waiting outside to walk me back. And so I I thought, and I can't ever do this again. I thought, to save time, I'll just hover. I don't have time to put down a seat cover and like sit down and pee. I peed all over myself. Like it, like the bottoms of my feet into the sandals, and I was like, oh no, oh no. What am I gonna do?
Oh, no.
And I was half awake, and it's just going everywhere. And then I was like, well, I'm already like, what? So I was mid hover, but I still had to pee. So I'm like, okay, let me reposition. And it goes worse. It was worse.
Sit your ass down at that point, Juliet.
I learned.
You already got piss all over yourself.
Oh my God. I was in there for like 10 minutes. I ate up 10 minutes of the massage because I had peed. I was drenched. I had to clean the shoes they let you borrow.
Oh,
and
no.
Oh my God. I don't know if I can show my face there again, but I did make sure to take an entire bunch of bananas on my way out. They want
Good.
You to take them.
They want you to take them.
So that's what's new with me. I peed all over myself like an idiot.
What an experience.
Yeah. Yeah. Sound bowls and...
you know, sometimes there's an unpredictable spewing situation happening and you're like, why? You know?
I was releasing, I guess.
Yeah.
That's really all that's new with me. Otherwise, let's
big
see.
Week for Juliet.
I came home, I told, because Victor was like, how did you like the massage? Because like, he treated me. I was like, honey, I pissed everywhere. It was, I was mortified and sticky. And I felt so bad for the people who had to go in there after me.
Oh,
but
no.
I cleaned it up. I cleaned it up. Oh my God. So that's my sexy story of what's new with me time. Has that ever happened to you?
So it was sound bowls sitting on your body for a full 80 minutes?
It would go back and forth. Like you'd get a little massage and then they would do that.
Okay.
And then they would like, they'd bong it. And then
yeah.
Because it was vibrating, they'd move it around different parts of your body. It was cool.
Interesting.
I don't think
you do it again?
No. But it was... I can see why they were so hesitant. Like, did you like it?
Yeah.
Because I was expecting something totally different.
Yeah.
I was also expecting to not pee all over myself.
It was
a day of surprises. I'll tell you what. And then the day before, I went and I took a dance class. That was really fun. And then Sadie and I are learning some choreography for something fun that's happening at the end of the month. So if you've ever wanted to see us dance, you're in for a treat.
I haven't learned it yet, but
oh
we're
gosh.
Recording a little bit later than we planned, so I'm like, I have time.
If you have any questions, I've got it down. So that was fun. I went and I used one of the rooms with mirrors and I practiced. And we started, well, I guess this now would be week two of Activate Your Magic,
mm-hmm.
which is already going so amazing. I love it.
Yeah, everyone, shout out to everyone in Activate Your Magic. It's been so fun to see everyone just like so energized, so in it, really taking it like seriously, really diving in with like an open heart and an open mind. So mm-hmm. Thank you all. And yeah, it's just been so exciting to hear such great feedback like right out the gate. It's been
mm-hmm.
so fun.
And what else did we do recently that was really fun? We invested in some mentorship.
We did, yeah.
Business mentorship, already getting so much out of
yes.
it. Oh my gosh, that's exciting. And oh, on October 19th, which is a Wednesday.
Oh yeah.
We are hosting a free masterclass.
Free!
It's free because we want to meet you. We want you to come. We want to hang out with you.
Mm-hmm.
We want to invite more people into our world and do some manifestation secrets with you. So we'll put the link in the description and everything. Mm-hmm. But the topic, why don't you tell them the topic?
So this is the first in our Magic and Manifestation series. And we're going to talk about how to get everything you want, which might seem like a clickbaity title, but it's truly, we're truly going to give you the answer to that. It's going to be really fun.
Yes. I cannot teach a masterclass called How Not to Pee on Yourself at the Spa, but I can teach a masterclass.
We will not be covering that.
Everything you want.
How to get everything you want. It's going to be live on Zoom. And if you're like, this sounds so exciting, but I'm not available on that time and date, definitely still register, because if you are registered, you will be sent out a replay.
Yes.
So make sure you get registered. And, you know, even though it's free, again, you have to be registered for the class. And there's going to be limited spots. There's plenty to go around. There's lots of spots, but it is limited because Zoom has a capacity.
Right.
So sign up ASAP. We're excited to see you there. We're excited to connect with you. If you've ever wanted to come to a live class with us, but you're not a part of the Coven or one of our other programs, this is, I think, the first time we've offered something like this live. Yeah. So it's incredibly high value, and we can't wait to connect with you.
Yeah, I think we already have close to 40 signups, and it's been like a couple days. So,
so exciting. Make sure you get in there.
So that's new with me. I don't know. It's I feel like it's been a pretty mellow week. What's new with
you? I, on the other hand, have had a week. So I wrote some notes, but it's felt like so many things are going wrong. Like just like thing after thing after thing. I injured my back really badly. Boo got really sick. She's okay. She's sitting here with us now. She's still on the mend. She's still a little low energy, but she's got medicine and everything. But I wanted to share, I'll share more details of these things, but I had sort of a like aha moment around this, and a really powerful shift in perspective, because I was getting really really sort of worked up about it at first. We had a really great month in business because we launched this program, and we, you know, our retreat is close to sold out, and so all these great things happening. So I'm like, wow, we had a really great income month. I'm feeling super abundant. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, why the fuck am I manifesting all of these like extra expenses, like an injury? Oh, I have to go to the chiropractor. Oh my gosh, my cat is sick and I have to go to urgent care. I can't get into the vet. Like I have to, you know, urgent care is more expensive and all these things. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I was really like, what's wrong with me sort of energy. I was like, where am I not holding the energy? Why am I money limiting belief is making me manifest these expenses? Because that can happen. Like when you're, maybe you're able to get to a place where you are manifesting more money, but if you don't deal with limiting beliefs, funky beliefs that you have, you can tend to manifest ways to make that money go out of your life very quickly. But I was meditating on it, and I really shifted the perspective, and it made me feel really, really empowered. So I want to share, because it can be really disempowering for, you know, it's like when it rains, it pours, and everything bad is like happening. And I felt like some of these things, Boo's little snorts down there with her stuffy nose, these two major things and the other like little things happening that are costing me money, they're things that I should have been dealing with for a while. Like Boo got sick from fleas, and we treat her literally every month for these fucking fleas, but we can't get rid of them. She's indoor, outdoor. She's miserable being trapped inside right now. We're gonna figure out a solution, but that was something ongoing that we've been struggling with. And so now she's sick, and I'm just like, oh wow, okay, like we have to do something major about that. My back, I should be going to the chiropractor regularly, but I've been just not prioritizing it, because I'm like, oh, another monthly expense, like I just don't want to deal with that, get injured, forced to deal with it. And I feel like sort of this all came to a head, and this is all happening like at a time where the universe is like, well, if we throw these things at you that you should have been taking more seriously, now it doesn't matter. Like you'll be fine. You won't be stressed about these extra bills. You're going to be able to pay them, and it's like no big deal. It's not going to put a strain on all the other stuff in your life that you have expenses for. And so that really like shifted things where I was like, oh, I've been taking care of this whole time, where over the summer, I would think I would have been really stressed if, like, I suddenly had to spend $500 on my cat. I would have been really stressed if I hurt my back and now I have to do, like, a long-term treatment plan to make sure it doesn't, you know, keep getting re-injured. And so it's happening now where I'm like, I feel comfortable. I handed over my car to pay for Boo. I was like, I don't care what the cost is. I'll fucking pay it. Like, all good. Like, it felt very, I was like, oh, I feel very abundant. I took care of these expenses and I'm good. Mm-hmm. I don't have to feel stressed. So it was like a challenge, I think, to like not go into scarcity mode and not panic. And I think I came out of it and I feel really good. I still put extra money in my savings like I wanted to, because I knew that we were having the launch and stuff. And like, I just, it was like a big learning moment for me. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so my back was, I woke up one morning about a week ago or like 2 weeks ago. I was in so much pain, like unbearable pain. I couldn't get into the chiropractor for a few days. I finally go to the chiropractor. He's like, oh, you have a rib out. And I saw my x-ray of my spine and it's like visibly like an inch out of alignment in my upper back, just like so curved. And I was like, holy shit, that stuff happens over time. Not the rib. I don't know how I threw out the rib, but my spine. But it was so funny. If you were on our Instagram Live last Tuesday, I talked about this, but all weekend I was like, I think I'm going to have a hot chiropractor. And I had no reason to think that because I hadn't got on a website or anything. And then I went in and I indeed had a hot chiropractor. So that was fun. He made me so nervous. I get so nervous around people that I find attractive. But that's all good. I feel much better now. I'm still like a little bit sore and I need to go back for a while to just do regular adjustments so that my back's okay and I can keep doing all the workouts and dance classes that I like, because it definitely was because of some bad form on my part. And then Boo, poor little Boo, she just started acting a little bit funny, but she was still like eating and still playing and still being fine. But she felt kind of like warm, and Craig agreed. She was like, she's just kind of being a little bit funny. Like, it's so hard to tell when an animal is sick. They're not like, Mom, I don't feel good, you know. It's but I listened to my intuition and I took her into urgent care, and she had a really high fever. She had a little bit of a cough, and they said probably from fleas. She goes somewhere in our yard that is, Mr. Cat never gets fleas and Boo is always just riddled in fleas, and I don't know what to do with her about that, because no medicines work. So she's trapped inside for the foreseeable future. But she's still on the mend. She's still not feeling super great, but thank you to everyone. I didn't really share it on social media, but I shared it in the Patreon. And the day that I was taking her in, I was just like, I never had a pet sick like that before. And I was just like crying and stressed and so sad that my baby wasn't feeling good. And now she's getting her medicine and visibly improving every day. It's been a couple days now. But thank you to everyone in the Patreon who I was crying at first because I was scared and whatever. And then after I picked Boo up and I could see such a difference, and I went into the Discord chat and I saw everyone's sweet messages, and I just like could feel all the love and the healing energy. And then I started like crying happy tears because I was just like so relieved and so grateful to have such a community that's got our back. So thank you. But yeah, it was a big week for me. Lots of ego coming up, but I feel really good about my shift in perspective, and I learned a lesson. And just so if there's anyone listening that's like going through a hard time, or it feels like all this like stuff is happening at once, or that thing you work towards is coming crashing down, or whatever it is, I challenge you, you know, it can be hard to find the empowering perspective or the thing to be grateful for, but I challenge you to go for it, because once you find that and you can really shift into it, and it'll take time, but it's easier than you think when you really give yourself that intentional time to like look for, oh, this is what's happening. This is how it's working for me. This is how I'm going to be better on the other side of this. So maybe the universe is handing you just what you needed, even though it feels like it's a hot mess express right now. The big lesson. Okay, now I have to tell you, this is a scary story.
Oh, okay.
Have you heard of Robert the Doll?
Yes.
Do you know stuff about him?
Like, I know. Is he in Florida?
Yeah.
Okay. He's in a museum, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you're not supposed to look at him.
Well, you have to ask permission.
Okay.
You're not supposed to touch the glass. You're not supposed to take a picture of him unless you ask permission. Okay, so big life update. My dad got live YouTube TV and added me to the family plan, so I have live TV now. Ooh. Which is very exciting. Specifically because now I have a Hallmark and Lifetime for Christmas time.
Say no more. Say no more.
But I am struggling a little with this because I keep watching the channel with, like, Ghost Adventures and all these scary shows on it, and it's, like, really not good for me. Uh-oh. Your girl needs balance. But it's so interesting. Like, I binge, like, Ghost Hunter or Ghost, the one with Zach, Ghost Adventures, right? I binged it for, like, 6 hours while I was, like, working one day, and I was not okay. It was so scary. There's 2 hours on the Cecil Hotel, which we have to talk about another time.
Oh, I know all about that one.
Maybe we'll do an episode on that. But I thought, okay, so there was this whole documentary about Robert the Doll, and I could barely watch it. I kept having to go to House Hunters in between. And, like, literally when I was watching it, I couldn't look at the TV. I was, like, watching it from my peripherals. Because whenever they showed the real Robert the Doll on the TV, I could fucking feel him. And I literally, like, in my mind, I would be like, I respect you, Robert. I respect you. I believe in you. Like, I respect you. It's, like, hard to talk about him, honest to God. I would never, ever go to that fucking museum. I don't know why people do. But basically, this documentary was partially actors reenacting, like, his story from the beginning. And then it had interviews with current day victims of Robert the Doll, and it was fascinating and it was so good. I did not finish it. It was at night. I was like, Sadie, you're done, you can't watch this. But I want to tell you what I did manage to get out of it.
Yeah, please.
The sporadic viewing, because I was so scared. It was so, oh my god, scary. Robert the Doll is so scary. I respect you, Robert the Doll. So currently he is in, like, Fort Myers, Florida or something. He's in a museum. The museum is very, like, every tour, they do small groups that go in at a time, and they say you must respect Robert the Doll. Do not touch the glass, because he's in a glass encasement. They're like, do not touch the glass. If you're going to take a picture, you must ask permission. And of course, there's a handful of people that go in, they don't take it seriously. And these are their stories.
Okay,
so one lady, I didn't stick around for her story because she was so visibly shaken and I couldn't take it. I re-upped all my energetic boundaries after this. I was really struggling. Mm. But they showed her shaking and bawling and crying, going back into that museum to Robert the Doll and apologizing to him. And she was like, I don't know what happened to her, but she was like cowering and she was like, I'm so sorry. And like, this woman had been seriously affected by whatever happened to her. I couldn't follow through on that story. Came back later.
Okay.
There's this couple that went through. They're on their, like, honeymoon in Florida. And the couple goes in together. The husband's just acting like a jerk, not taking it seriously. He raps on the glass and is like, oh, Robert, you know, like, being very disrespectful. And the wife is like, are you fucking, like, she's like, come on, like, cut it out, like, it's not a joke, it's not funny. But they go home and she's like, I immediately just feel a difference in our home. She's like, I feel something there. Mm-mm. And she says they're hearing knocks all the time.
No.
And the knocks escalate into hearing, like, footsteps, like, running, like, loud. And then there's just weird things happening. And then sort of the escalation, the craziest thing that happened was that she came home from work one day and every kitchen cupboard was wide open and all of the dishes, cups, every single thing in those cupboards was stacked precariously on each other, like cup, plate, bowl, completely covering the kitchen ground.
What?
just like so, and she's like, I've never felt so much fear in my entire life. And then I got so scared and I didn't finish. I'm sorry that I left. I'm leaving you guys hanging with these, but like, it was so hard to watch. Cause I'm scared of dolls out the gate. Like always have been. So that was one, but, I don't think I watched any more of the victim stories, but going back to the history of Robert the Doll is super creepy too. So I think it's like the 1800s, couldn't tell you like early, mid, late, but a long, long time ago. And the doll is a birthday present for this little boy named Robert. And so they're doing an actor reenactment, but it's based on the journals of the servants in the house, the mother. So they're putting these pieces together.
The maid?
Mm-hmm.
I was
and,
there.
And so it's said that, you know, and it's Robert, the boy, is from a well-off family. So it's his birthday. He's surrounded by presents and he wants to open the biggest present first. This doll is really big. It's like the size of a toddler,
mm-hmm.
which makes it even scarier. And so one of the first presents he opens is this doll, and he immediately like goes into a trance, and he like takes the doll and walks away and gives no fucks about the rest of the gifts, which is like not what a little boy is like, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're kind of like, oh, that's weird, but great, he likes the doll. So a couple days go by, he's just obsessed with this doll, never leaves its side, is talking to it constantly, and his mom is like, hey Robert, like Clementine, the woman, they're like nanny that lives with them, and she's like, Clementine said it's like time to wash up for lunch, it's time to eat. And he's like, Robert and I aren't hungry. And she's like, what do you mean, Robert and you, you're Robert? And he was like, no, I gave my name to Robert, he's Robert now, I'm Jean. And she's like, no, you're Robert. And he's like, no. And he gets like mad.
Whoa.
And so there is a history of like, your name is very sacred, and if you were to give your name, especially if this doll is possessed, if you're to give your name to somebody, that gives them power over you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So very, very spooky. So for the rest of his life, this man grows up and he's Eugene. He's not Robert anymore. Right. Crazy. So there's just weird things happening in the house. People are seeing the doll like turn its head, move.
Ugh.
The mom's overhearing him talking and hearing other voices in his room. And then she'll go in and be like, who are you talking to? Is your sister in here? And he's like, no, I'm talking to Robert. And she's like, seriously? And he's like, I'm talking to Robert. So she's hearing voices. And even like the little boy is like seeing the doll move, but he's like, how did you get over there? Like, he's just not freaked out by it at all. So the doll has this connection with this little boy. It doesn't hurt the little boy. But there's just these mysterious things that go on in the house. The servants in the house like get really scared and freaked out and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then I miss some of the middle parts, but I come back to the show when Eugene, formerly known as Robert, is an adult. And so he's, you know, the doll's been put away. He leaves the house, he goes off to school, he goes to art school in Europe, he meets this woman, they get married, they move to New York, she's like a really successful pianist, she's getting awards for music, and he's, you know, trying to become a successful artist, whatever. And then his mom passes away, so they go back to Florida and move into the childhood home, him and his wife, they're like, okay, you know what, we did Europe, we did New York, like, let's settle down and do a family now in this home. And the wife is going through stuff in the house because the mom has passed and they're moving their own stuff in, and she finds the doll and brings it to the husband, and she's like, hey, like, do you want to keep this? And the Eugene goes back into a trance with this doll.
Oh, no.
And so then it's getting spooky again. The wife is hearing him the wife is going through what the mom went through, right? She's like hearing them. And then this is an actor reenactment, but they're showing this scene of the wife leaning in, trying to listen because the husband's talking to the doll and she's listening in. And he's like, I told you, you don't have to worry about my wife. I'll take care of it.
Oh.
And saying all this creepy stuff. And he's like, it's going to be me and you watching the sunset together every night right here in this window. And just like all this weird stuff. And this is the point where I have to stop watching the show. So I'm sorry. I don't know if this man hurt his wife. I don't know what happened. I hope she fucking left and let Eugene and the doll come back to themselves. But there's still no answer as to how this doll came to be possessed, what is possessing the doll, but it's very clear that there is something possessing this doll. But they had a psychic medium go into the old family home and try and pick up on stuff. And so one theory that, and she, so she was feeling the one of the women that worked in the house. I don't think it was the nanny, but it was another woman that worked in the house. And there was suspicions that she was having an affair with the husband and had a child, but the child didn't make it, like died as a baby or a toddler. And she was so jealous because, you know, once she had this, like, I don't know if they were in love, but she had this relationship with the husband who had these two children with his wife, right? And she was in this house, so that she was just so angry that her own child had been taken from her, so jealous that she possessed the doll. That's one theory. And so when the psychic medium went into the house, she was feeling she picked up on this woman specifically, which made them think that maybe this is what happened, because that came forward most strongly. But she was like, this house is a portal, there's so many spirits here. Like, she was like, I'm not surprised that something like this would happen in this space. Wow. Whether somebody opened this portal or this was already here, she wasn't sure. But it was very interesting, and if it's ever on TV again, I'll maybe try to watch it again. But it was really intense, and it was really hard to watch. I was
Robert
really scared.
Robert the doll.
It was very interesting.
Would it freak you out to, like, Google what Robert looks like so I can take a peek?
Do you have your phone?
No,
your
we're phone's recording right there. With it.
Okay. I'll look him up.
I just want to... I've seen him before.
He's in a sailor suit.
Yeah.
He's big.
Yeah. We're not going to throw a picture up. You have to look it up yourself if you dare. I just wanted to vomit.
That's, yeah, he's hard to look at. We respect you, Robert.
We okay. respect you. Thank you.
Thank you for your interesting story. yeah. Like, I could, like, you know, they're reenacting with the regular, like, a clearly not him in the, with the actor reenactments, could watch that fine, but every time they showed him in his case, I literally, like, cowered. Like,
yeah.
I could feel him.
Yeah.
It was, it was intense. But in other news, the other new thing with me is that I hung out with Steffi Spirit Sis, and we had the best time. We went to the pumpkin patch. We got in trouble for going down the blow-up slides because there was no signs and there was no one working that we could see. And they were...
Oh, please.
And then we got down and they were like, no adults. It was worth it. It was so fun. But it was really fun. So we went to dinner and had a drink and had burgers and onion rings. It was really good. And she was like, we were talking about whatever, and she was like, let me take a peek at your birth chart to remind me of some things, because she's read it before. And I loved this because she said, because I have a critical degree in my Leo and Jupiter.
What is a critical degree?
It means it's like, so that's what I kept. I was like,
it's
what does
critical.
That mean? Basically, yeah, it's like it's something that's a really important piece of, like, your karmic destiny that, like, should not be ignored.
Isn't it weird that critical can either mean extremely important or, like, rude?
Oh, yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah.
I never realized that. Okay, let's learn
about
it.
So, she said, she was saying, it's like written in the stars. It's my karma to be seen, to be visible. And she was saying that with like, I have like so many placements in the eighth house, which makes a lot of sense. That's with like psychic abilities, like mm-hmm. Scorpio and like the eighth house are both really connected to that. And so I have like four planets in the eighth house, I think. And being psychic and like being really interested in the occult, so witchcraft things. Mm-hmm. But she was explaining to me with my Sag rising and a couple other things how it's almost like I would take a methodical surgical approach to like the occult, like I was like, this makes so much sense. And we just got done with the first week of Activate Your Magic, which is one of my favorite things to talk about, which is me breaking down like why witchcraft works. And I was like, that's exactly what I love doing. I like taking it apart mm-hmm. and telling you like, here's why this is and this is and this is, and putting it back together for you in a way that like it makes sense. And you're like, oh, like just be, and I really believe like just because you can explain something doesn't mean it's not magic. And when I explain what magic is to someone who thinks being a witch is ridiculous, they go like, oh, well, that's that you're talking about this. And I'm like, yeah, it's the same thing.
Right.
So it was just really cool to hear that validation, because we're in Activate Your Magic right now. And I was like, yeah, that is my favorite thing to do. That's why, you know, I created a program like this to like break it down and tell you how it works and like take it apart. And it was cool just to hear, like, she's like, yeah, and you're really meant, like, the Jupiter is all about expansion and getting it out to the world and like letting it be visible. So the work you do is like meant to be out there. So it was very affirming for the podcast and the, you know, being putting everything out.
Oh, good.
It felt good. And Steffi's always so fun to hang out with, and we're gonna see her tomorrow at the pumpkin Yay! Carving party.
I'm excited.
And yeah, that's my hour long what's new with me.
And I peed on myself. That's what's new with me. Some weeks it just be like that.
It just be like that. So let's start with the history of werewolves, because okay. My voice needs a break.
Okay. All right. Ooh, now I'm thinking about Robert the Doll.
Yeah, I told Steffi all about him, and she's like, now I can't stop thinking about him. Like, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have shared. So I'm sorry to everyone out there who's now upset about Robert the Doll.
It's upsetting. Okay, so I printed, I made some detailed notes. I got a lot of this from history.com. And let's just dive into werewolves.
Let's do it.
According to legend, werewolves are people who morph into vicious, powerful wolves. Others are a mutant combination of human and wolf, but all are bloodthirsty beasts who cannot control their lust for killing people and animals. Despite the romantic version of werewolves Hollywood and young adult novels are showing us, stories of werewolf attacks happened after barbaric murders. Were these attacks done by an ordinary wolf, a psychotic human, or a true human-wolf hybrid? So whoa, big sneeze.
Bless you, boo.
A little baby werewolf.
Come here.
So it's unclear where the legend began, but it was just fascinating as I pieced all these things together that it was just how people tried to explain mm-hmm. horrible things that normal people did. They're mm-hmm. like, oh, a normal man couldn't have done that. So mm-hmm. it must have been a werewolf. Mm-hmm. It was like a way to cope is yeah. sort of like what my big takeaway was. So some scholars believe that the werewolf made its debut in the Epic of Gilgamesh, which is the oldest known Western prose. From 2100 BC, it was written in Sanskrit, Sumerian epic poem written in Mesopotamia. Does that make it Western? I'm not sure if that makes it Western. But anyways, when Gilgamesh abandoned a potential lover because she had turned her previous mate into a wolf. How dare you? Then there's Greek mythology, the legend of Lysanon, Lycaon. I can't say it. Do you know what it is?
How's it spelled?
Lycaon. Lycaon.
Lichen. We'll just say it like
we'll
that.
Call
I've
lichen.
Seen that name before, but from reading in books, not from saying it out loud.
According to the legend, Lycan, angered the god Zeus when he served him a meal made from the remains of a sacrificed boy. As a punishment, enraged Zeus turned Lycan and his sons into wolves. That story is from 380 BC. Then there's also Nordic folklore. Father and a son who discovered wolf pelts that had the power to turn them into wolves for 10 days. Hmm. They would go on a killing rampage in the forest. Fascinating. But this is the part that I found the most interesting. So many so-called werewolves were from centuries ago, and they were in fact serial killers. And France, very big in France for some reason. Mm-hmm. A lot of werewolves in France. So in 1521, Frenchman Pierre Bergot and Michel Verdun, allegedly swore allegiance to the devil and claimed to have an ointment that turned them into wolves. After confessing to brutally murdering several children, they were both burned to death at the stake because that was the only way you could kill, I guess, a witch, a werewolf. You had to burn them.
Classic.
There was also, let's see, the werewolf of Dole was another 16th century Frenchman, Gilles Garnier, whose claim to fame was also an ointment with wolf morphing abilities. And according to legend, when he became a wolf, he would viciously kill children and eat them. He too was burned to the stake for his monstrous crimes. And then there's speculation, like, were they mentally ill? Were they on some type of hallucinogenic substance? Or were they simply cold-blooded killers? It's up for debate. But anyways, people in the 16th century thought crimes like this could only be committed by a horrific beast like a werewolf.
Yeah.
I just thought that was, like, kind of tender. That they would say, like, oh no, men don't do that. Only a werewolf could. Mm-hmm. Okay, then we have the Bedburg werewolf.
The Bedburg.
Are you enjoying this?
I am.
Okay. Peter Stubb, a wealthy 15th century farmer in Bedburg, Germany, may be the most notorious werewolf of them all. Mm. According to folklore, he turned into a wolf-like creature at night and devoured many citizens of Bedburg. He was eventually blamed for the gruesome killings after being cornered by hunters who claimed they saw him shapeshift from wolf to human form. He experienced a grisly execution after confessing under torture, wouldn't anybody under torture confess to anything, to savagely killing animals, men, women, and children and eating their remains. He also declared that he owned an enchanted belt that gave him the power to transform into a wolf at will. Not surprisingly, the belt was never found. Okay, History Channel. Hmm. Maybe it was buried somewhere. We don't know. Peter's guilt is controversial, since some people believe he wasn't a killer, but a victim of a political witch hunt or perhaps a werewolf hunt. Either way, the circumstances surrounding his life and death stoked rampant fears at the time that werewolves were on the loose. Imagine, I mean, we have a lot of worries today. Mm-hmm. But imagine that one. Like, oh, kids, come inside. The werewolves might come out.
Right.
Ooh.
It's interesting.
Okay. The shapeshifter as a werewolf. Some legends maintain werewolves shapeshifted at will due to a curse. Others state that they transformed with the help of an enchanted sash or a cloak made of wolf pelt. Still, others claim that people became wolves after being scratched or bit by a werewolf. Now, in many werewolf stories, it's always about when do they come out?
The full moon.
Mm-hmm. So this theory may not be far-fetched because according to a study, and then I got down a rabbit hole of things that happen during full moons.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, we talk about, like, as witches, like, oh, there's a 3-day window around the full moon that you can work with the full moon. And that's typically the lore that you'll find is that, like, there's 3 days that the... when if you're a werewolf, there's 3 days that you need to be, like, locked up or, like, you know, like, protected so that when you turn, you don't go out and kill people, like, you know, in Buffy and in other movies. It's like, it's always the 3 days around the, you know, surrounding the full moon.
Whoa. Okay, so in a hospital in Australia, they did a study that to see if the full moon really does bring out the beast, quote unquote, in many humans. Mm-hmm. The study found that of the 91 violent acute behavior incidents at the hospital between August 08 and July 09, 23% happened during a full moon. So of all of the things, a quarter of them happened on that one day.
Mm-hmm.
Patients attacked staff and displayed wolf-like behavior such as biting, spitting, and scratching. It is unclear why they become more intensely violent when the moon is full. And then I thought this was interesting. The Latin name for the moon, Luna, is the root of the modern words lunacy and lunatic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's connected to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Even today, many doctors, nurses, EMTs, police officers, and elementary school teachers argue that full moons will bring out bizarre behavior. 43% of healthcare professionals believe in what some call the lunar influence, as do 81% of mental health care specialists. I remember when I was teaching, it was always crazier around the full moon time.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, is it a full moon? Because everyone is just acting up.
I remember just being in college, and like, if you went out on a full moon, it was way rowdier. Like, you could see, and like, if I closed at work and was walking home late at night by myself, like, I always was very aware when it was the full moon, and I was always like extra mindful because I walked through, you know, the streets that with all the bars and all the drunk people, and like, you could really feel the difference. And this was before I was really in tune with my, you know, consciously in tune with my intuition and aware of these things and whatever. But I was always like, oh, it's a full moon. Like, I got to be extra careful, because there was always more instances of bar fights, and you'd hear about stabbings and just weird stuff. And it was always fucking on the full moon. Always. It was crazy.
Yeah. There's something about it. And I can't stand when people argue against it. It's like, it makes the water in the ocean behave differently.
Right,
it's a different gravitational pull. Animals behave differently, I think. There's just different things that why wouldn't we also feel that?
The cats don't like to come home when it's the full moon.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that for a while. And then recently, because they're so good, they come home at like 4 o'clock on the dot, pretty much. They're easy to get in. You just shake the food and they run back in, because they just go around in like our yard. They're always within earshot. And then I'd be like, every once in a while, I'd be like, man, these cats won't come in. They're being so naughty. And sometimes they'll even stay out all night. And it always worries me and stresses me out. And then I started paying attention. I was like, these little bitches are staying out when it's the full moon. It makes them crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It makes them turn into wild animals. Isn't that right, boo?
Because it is about once a month where you're like, why aren't they coming back?
Yeah, I'm like, why are they acting like assholes? They act like they literally turn into wild animals. Like, they'll see me and they'll be like, and like, run away. The fuck? And it's on the full moon. They go nuts.
Have you ever heard of Peter the Wild Boy?
I've heard of Peter the Wolf.
Oh, I've heard of that too.
I feel like that's like a parable or something.
Yeah, I remember that as like a but I don't puppet know show if video that I okay, had. Like,
is that connected to Peter the Wild Boy? Is it the same
maybe
thing?
Maybe it was inspired by it. So here we go. Are werewolves real? The werewolf phenomenon may have a medical explanation. Take Peter the Wild Boy, for instance. In 1725, he was found wandering naked on all fours through a German forest. Many thought he was a werewolf, or at least raised by wolves. Peter ate with his hands and couldn't speak. He was eventually adopted by the courts of King George I and King George II and lived his days out as their, quote, pet in England. I don't love that terminology at all. But I suppose it was a different time. Research has shown that Peter likely had Pitt-Hopkins syndrome, a condition discovered in 1978 that causes lack of speech, seizures, distinct facial features, difficulty breathing, and intellectual challenges.
Hmm.
So he wasn't a pet. He just had something going on.
Mm-hmm.
Other medical conditions that may have encouraged werewolf mania throughout history are the following. Lycanthropy, which is a rare physiological condition that causes people to believe that they're changing into a wolf or another animal.
Wow.
I've never heard of that. Lycanthropy. Food poisoning. Hypertrichosis. Oh, that's the rare genetic disorder causing excessive hair growth, which those are the people that would like get gigs in the circus.
Mm-hmm.
Rabies. Hallucination, possibly caused by hallucinogenic herbs. Throughout the centuries, people have used werewolves and other mythic beasts to explain the unexplainable. In modern times, however, most believe that werewolves are nothing more than pop culture horror icons, made famous thanks to the Hollywood 1941 flick, The Wolfman. Still, werewolves have a cult following. Werewolf sightings are reported each year, and werewolf legends will likely continue to haunt the dreams of people throughout the world. Ooh, and then I had another little last note. One study says that more animal bites from cats, rats, dogs, and horses occur at the full moon. Another says there's no increase in dog bites. It's funny. It's like one study says this, but another study says this. One study showed an increase in crime around the full moon.
Yeah, I've heard that.
And then another study said there's no increase. But it's like, which one? Admissions for psychosis are lowest during the full moon, and they're actually the highest during the new moon, which is interesting. So what do you think? Has anybody here ever seen a werewolf, ever had a nightmare, an encounter? I didn't know that it was what we sort of came up with as humans to explain horrific acts.
Yeah, a lot of these monsters are explanations for what once was unexplainable, you know? And then we have modern science, because that's a lot of what the vampire is, too. And maybe I'll start there. So,
oh, yes. I'm ready to cozy up and learn about the history of vampires during Spooktober.
Spooktober. Okay. Actually, I'll start off with what I learned from history.com, and then the rest is says notes from memory, because this gives a good sort of background basis. So, okay, history.com says that it's thought Bram Stoker named Count Dracula after Vlad Dracul, also known as Vlad the Impaler. A lot of us have heard that. And Vlad Dracul was born in Transylvania, Romania, and he ruled Wallachia, Romania, off and on from 1456 to 1462. So the basis of a lot of the vampire myth and legend is happening in the 1400s. So a little bit about Vlad, the basis for this vampire character, is that some historians describe him as just yet brutally cruel ruler who valiantly fought off the Ottoman Empire. He earned his nickname because his favorite way to kill his enemies was to impale them on a wooden stake. So famously, I believe there's a painting that has him eating dinner and he's surrounded by like soldiers that are up and down, you know, the stakes going up their bum and out their mouth.
Ah!
Yeah. And he would just let them, yeah, chill on his property to scare other people and tell them, like, this is what's up.
Oh, it must have smelled so bad.
Yeah. And I believe there's a famous painting or some sort of image of that. And there's a lot of other disgusting, cruel torture that he would get involved in. I won't get into all of that, but you can look it up if you find those things interesting. So then this is legend, but it's said that because he was so cruel, he was torturing and killing, you know, his enemies or people that basically pissed him off. But there's legend that he would dip his bread in their blood, which I don't know if that's true, but that's sort of where the basis of the vampire drinks blood comes from. So it, according to history, Bram Stoker, who's the famous, you know, famously wrote Dracula, the novel, which is a great book if you haven't read it. I've read it many times. They say he's studying history. He comes upon this ruler that maybe not a lot of people talk about anymore, or at least not. I think he's in England, not in England. And this is the inspiration for the character Dracula. However, oh, this is interesting. So they also think this is how they came up with the connection of driving a wooden stake through the heart of a vampire because Vlad would impale his victims on wooden stakes. So there might be a connection there too, although some historians say, no, that dates back farther than that. So,
okay.
Vampire superstition thrived in the Middle Ages, especially as the plague decimated entire towns. So the plague would leave victims with blood around their mouths because they had sores.
Oh.
So this was like a sure sign of vampirism, right? Because they didn't understand what was happening. And it also says that it wasn't uncommon for anyone with an unfamiliar physical or emotional illness to be labeled a vampire. So vampires were really anyone who was like the other in a community that didn't fit in, that people wanted to give a reason to, like, why they could look down on them or be cruel to them. It was like, well, they're a vampire, they're evil. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit sad at times. Oh, the loud noises outside. Another interesting thing is there's a very specific disease that is incredibly rare now, but could have been more common in rural communities where the gene pool is much smaller. So if somebody had it, it could have been, you know, it could run in a family. And it's this disease called porphyria. And the symptoms of this disease can temporarily be relieved by ingesting blood. And basically, you're allergic to the sun. You can't go out in the sun. You will blister. You're even like your ears and nose can get so quickly and severely burned that they'll like become distorted, like even fall off. Oh. It's a really, really terrible disease. And so they're like, these people can't go out in the sun. They, you know, the sun burns them. They need to ingest blood to like relieve their symptoms. Like, they're vampires. Mm. Very interesting. And then other diseases blamed for promoting the vampire myth would include rabies or goiter. So when a suspected vampire died, their bodies were often disinterred to search for signs of vampirism. In some cases, a stake was thrust through the corpse's heart to make sure they stayed dead. Other accounts describe the decapitation and burning of the corpse as suspected vampires well into the 19th century. So the fear of vampires went on for a very, very, very long time. And so here I'm going to go into some of my notes from memory from being in this class, and just, I've always been fascinated by the idea of vampires and sort of just the curiosity, because I think that, I don't know, I don't think vampires are what they are in movies and films, but I feel like we come up with these monsters and these mythological people. There's some basis of truth. So there's a curiosity to dig into, like, how and why and in what way is this a real thing, right? So it's interesting. So vampirism explaining the unexplainable. So there's the sort of fear of vampires that runs rampant through communities, especially rural communities. They're more uneducated, you know, like London, Paris, they would hear stories of vampires in the country, right? And typically the people in the city are much more educated. Maybe they have a better understanding of death and what happens after death. But these rural communities, you know, they're like peasant towns. And so, you know, there's some of these illnesses going through, like rabies, the porphyria thing that was very rare, but they had these fears of vampirism. And so one thing they would do is, like, when somebody died, and if there was a suspected, there was suspected vampire activity going on in the village, they would dig up corpses to check on them to see if there was any signs that they were undead, right? So one thing that they would find is that the body had not decayed like it was supposed to. But this was in the winter time. The body's not going to decay until the summer, right? So that's one explanation of, like, when this would happen. A lot of times it was, like, cold.
Yeah.
Or they were encased in something, the way they had, like, buried this body, like, they weren't going to decay as fast. They would see that their nails and hair had continued to grow, but this is actually very common, that our bodies continue to produce the things in our nails and hair for a while after we're dead, which is very interesting. Mm-hmm. But they would dig these up and they would see these long, that's where a lot of times you see vampires with like long, creepy nails. That's where that comes from.
How long do the nails grow for?
I don't know, but this was a sign that they would look for. They're like, oh my God, oh. The nails, the hair, right? And then they'd also be reports of moaning from the bodies.
Oh.
However, this is also very common. It's air simply leaving the body. Like, we die, we still have air in us, and it comes out, if it comes out of our mouth, it moves through our vocal cords, and it's not uncommon for a body to moan, which I don't know if we have any listeners that like work in a morgue that could attest to this, but I have watched YouTube videos from morticians and stuff, and they say it's very freaky when it happens, but it does happen. Like,
oh.
You'll hear a moan. And then the most sure sign of all that you were correct when you drove a stake through that vampire's heart is that the body screamed. But this is another symptom of there still being air in the chest cavity. And when you push it out forcefully like that, it's going to make it may make a loud noise, like a scream. So they would say, oh, we were right. And even if there no noise happened, you know, it was like, well, they were dead anyways.
Yeah.
Split the difference, right? So very interesting. Now, some reasons why rumors of a vampire in the village might come up that would cause them to go on a vampire hunt and dig up bodies were pretty interesting too. So one thing would be like, you know, women were really not like, they were supposed to be proper and like not be like sexual creatures, right? And so if a woman, especially like a recently widowed woman, had like a gentleman caller and like someone in the village saw and would be like, who was that? The widow would say, oh, my husband's a vampire and he came to get me. And it was like, it was a cover up story.
And everybody said, that checks out.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So it was often an excuse for people sort of sneaking around with like affairs and things. If, you know, somebody's husband was going to sneak and sleep with somebody else's wife, they would say, oh, no, a vampire came to my window. There was nothing I could do. And so then the villagers would go to the recently deceased bodies and find the vampires. So a lot of it was like people would lean into people believing these things, and it sort of perpetuated itself where they would go to bodies and find, oh my gosh, there's proof. And then someone would be like, oh, well, that worked for, you know, like I'll use this as an excuse too. So really, really interesting. But you know, of course, modern science, we can explain a lot of these things. But at the time it was like undeniable proof. Like, mm-hmm. I heard him moaning, screamed when we stabbed him through the heart. You know, these things, or even witness of, oh, he's in a different position, like, what's it called? Like rigor mortis happening.
Yeah.
And so their hands being up like this and them being like, oh, they were trying to get out of their coffin, right?
This is why I need to be cremated immediately.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, I don't want none of this shit.
Uh-uh.
Or you can taxidermy me and keep me at home. Either way is fine. I think that'd be funny too.
They put you in Ripley's Believe It or Not. They're like, it is her though. Just be.
It's a witch. Ask permission respectfully if you want to take a picture of her.
Don't tap on the glass. Sadie the doll.
So then I was like, so why is Transylvania the sort of hub mm-hmm. of all the vampire stories? And I actually went to visit Transylvania. I took a trip there.
Ooh.
I went to, so Transylvania is a real place. It's in Romania. And I flew into the capital city, I flew into the capital city, Bucharest, and stayed a couple nights there, and then took a bus, a very rickety bus, to a very small town called Brasov, which was so cute. It had Brasov in the hills, in the same as like, Hollywood. It was like a Hollywood sign. It was hilarious. Because it wasn't, it has one of a few castles there that Vlad the Impaler had control over. And it wasn't his like main castle, but it's the one that they've pinned as like Dracula's real castle. So I stayed in Brasov in this tiny village, went and saw Dracula's real castle. It's so fun. All of Romania, they really lean into the vampire culture. It's their tourist industry. But I have to say, there is a spooky energy there. Yeah. And there was weird moments and weird things and times where, like, I was with a friend and, like, one night, I swear, this was a very small village, okay? Very small. And we stayed in a very strange hostel where they were like, you can't wear your shoes in here. We had to leave outside the door. And they were like, if we find one hair in the shower, we're charging you extra. Like, it was not a fun place to stay. Very stressful. But we walked to dinner, which was just straight down a street. We walked back home. And it wasn't that, like, we took a wrong street, apparently. But I have to emphasize how simple of a place this was. It was like a square and you had four options to go down a street. We're like, okay, I guess we picked the wrong street, but that's weird. Like, it's so easy to come back home, but okay. So we go down a different street and we're walking and we start hearing howling, like a werewolf sound. And we got like really spooked. And then we hear like jangling, like a gate jangling, and we get really scared. And you know, it's nighttime, it's really quiet because it's a village, it's pretty dark, there's not a lot of lights, and we're just in a, you know, we're in the like, you know, so we hear this howling, we hear this jangling, we're like, oh, so we run back to the square that's all lit up, and then we walk back up the same street because we're like, no, that is our street. And we walk back up it, and our hostel is there.
That's weird.
And it was just, and we were there together, and we were like, and we talked about it for days. We were like, what happened? Like, we know we were on the right street. We know we were looking at the right place and it wasn't there. And then, I don't know, it was just the most bizarre. Maybe we messed something up. It was nighttime, whatever. But it was just such a simple layout of like where we were going. It was so strange. And basically my point is, like, I can understand how Transylvania became the hub for this. I do think there is something about there. I don't know if there's actually, you know, real life vampires and werewolves there, but there's something on an energetic level. There's some spooky energy there. Mm-hmm. 1,000%. But I said, why Transylvania? It's not only the most commonly named home of vampires, but also werewolves and other monsters. It's just sort of this hub of that sort of paranormal and the scary. So they attribute this a lot to Bram Stoker's Dracula, again, Vlad the Impaler. And the name Dracula means son of the devil or son of the dragon. And so the stories of Dracula, the stories of Vlad the Impaler, even before it was written about as this famous novel, this is what was like what you would call like the best seller stories for like 400 years before Bram Stoker ever wrote that book. So he's been a part of like the myth and the legend, and like there's been speculation of him not being human, of him having made a deal with the devil, of him being a true son of a dragon. Like, there's been hundreds of years of people questioning the humanity of this person, right? So it's very interesting. And then the other thing that I read about and I want to touch on briefly, which I was reading about in my textbook, my professor Tomislav wrote an essay on this. But so Romania and like Eastern Europe in general has a long history of being the other, just mm-hmm. like in a village where the other would be considered the vampire. Like, Eastern Europe is sort of the other of Europe. It's sort of the, I would say, almost that's the step sibling, almost. Like, and this is because Eastern Europe is on a border where it was constantly being taken over by different empires. So the culture there is, it's been like the Ottoman Empire and like Islam, and then like the Soviet Union, and there's histories of like different like Christian people coming through and taking over. So it's been in sort of a constant state of like, who does it belong to? And the culture is very different than Western Europe. And so there is this sort of maybe not so positive aspect of this, of just the Eastern Europe area being considered the other, and that's being a part of why vampirism is so rampantly considered to be belong to that area, which is very interesting. And so that contributes in a big way to like the myths and legends of like, you know, people in Western Europe going to Romania and like evil bad things happened, like it's strange there, it's different there, it's not like it is here. So I thought that was interesting too, this sort of like socio-political aspect that also contributes to Transylvania having become what it is. But like I said, there is definitely a spooky energy there that goes beyond the sort of like exaggerated leaning into of like the tourist industry, which was, I loved that. I thought it was so fun. It's like, that's what I'm here for. But it, yeah, there was just interesting moments. There was interesting characters at the train stations. It was just a lot of spooky people, spooky moments, spooky feelings. I would go back. It was great, but just interesting, very interesting.
It is kind of amazing how throughout history there's this, and to this day, there's this notion of otherness and, and the stories and the caricatures that we create. I had posted something about, you know, how witches are seen, and somebody had left a comment of like, you understand this is very like, this is the perfect example of anti-Semitism. Like, oh, like, let's take the women with the larger noses and let's paint them as witches. And it's just so, and let's fear them and let's say nasty things about them. And I just hope and believe that with every generation all around the world, that we're just becoming more and more understanding that it doesn't have to be us versus somebody else, or if somebody looks different than we look, it doesn't make them bad. Like, it's, it seems so antiquated. But it's fascinating. And you know, with the werewolves, it was a way to explain something. With the vampires, it was a way to explain something. So I love all this. This is so interesting.
My final question is, do you think there's any truth to werewolves or vampires or any other monsters? Do you think they exist in some sort of capacity?
Oh my gosh, let me think about that. My question for you was, would you rather hook up with a werewolf or a vampire? But here, let's go back.
That's a great question. I could have arguments for both.
Yeah, I think a werewolf might be more fun.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, that animal instinct. But a vampire kind of has that too. Some vampires are said to morph into, you know, most popularly bats, but also wolves. Just watch Vampire in Brooklyn. He morphed into a wolf.
Oh, well, you know what? Then you can have it. You don't have to choose. You can have it all.
I'll take a wolfy vampire.
Okay. Do I believe...
Team Edward or Team Jacob? I read the books. I never seen the movies.
I did read the books, and I did not see... Maybe I watched the first movie. I kind of wasn't attracted to either of them, if I'm being honest.
I've never seen the movies, but book-wise, you know, I think, like, she had... You know, she ends up with Edward. Or, sorry, spoiler alert. If
you're not there, to say it's spoiler. It's been a decade.
It's too late. You don't get it anymore. You know, like, beep it out. No, but... you know, it kind of had to be him. I had no doubt the whole time I was reading it who she was going to end up with. But I kind of liked the werewolf guys, like the whole family. I thought that was more fun. Vampires are a little serious in that book. Yeah. They're more serious. And
they were quite serious.
I feel like the wolf side, the werewolves were more playful.
So, you know, it's like there's a little truth to everything, right? So it's possible. It's all possible. I'm not actively afraid of any of it.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing when people are like, oh, well, there could never be an alien. It's like, how do you, come
and
on.
And then the government says like, yeah, it's all true. And like, nobody reacts to it at all. Remember that?
Yes.
They did it like middle of the pandemic when we were freaking out about everything else. I'll still talk to people today and they'll be like, really? They did admit it? And I was like, yeah. It was like quiet news. They snuck it out. So, I don't know.
What do you think?
It could be a, like, dimension thing. Maybe they're not in our dimension.
Oh.
That's my suspicion. Just, like, with, like, mythology, with, like, the Greek or Roman gods and goddesses. You know, I'm like, I think that's a dimension. And then I was raised in a Catholic church, so there's that version of God. And I'm like, I don't believe that that's... I believe there's a truth to that version. So I feel like there's different dimensions and there's different layers, and maybe there is a dimension where vampires and werewolves exist in like a similar manner. Maybe not exactly, but you know, it's like it comes from somewhere, I feel like.
Right.
Would you rather be a vampire or a werewolf?
I don't know why I'm more drawn to the werewolf thing. Wanna be a werewolf? Yeah.
You're only a monster like 3 days month.
You have 3 days a month where you have... I mean, I sort of feel like if that's how we define werewolf, I'm like a monster for a few days out of a month. I'm in that like, cycle already there. Right now of like leading up to my period and just... So maybe that's why I connect the werewolf. It's like every month around the same time, they sort around of turn into moon. A different person.
That means you're going to have your cycle at the full moon if it's a few days away.
Oh, yeah. It's always on the full moon.
I think I would be a vampire, but like, you know, vampires have like human familiars that help them, and I would have a familiar that like helped me. I wouldn't want to like kill people and suck their blood. Or actually, Craig and I were talking about this. We were like, maybe we'd be like Dexter vampires, where we would sleuth out who was like evil humans and then like only feed on them.
I love that.
So maybe
it's
I would
a humanitarian be like that. Effort.
Or, you know, I'd get somebody to help me, like, get blood from a blood bank, which I would hate to take away from that because people need that blood. But it'd be better than murdering innocent people. You know what I mean? It's like you have to make choices when please, you're a vampire.
Please don't cancel Sadie for this hypothetical.
I'd hate bank. To do it, but if I'm a vampire.
I was, okay, just a beat back. You were talking about, like, Greek gods and mythology and goddesses. And I remembered something I forgot to tell you in What's New With Me.
Oh.
I had this very clear download to go up onto my roof, which is not a place that anyone is supposed to hang out, but I go up there. And I like stood and I watched the sunset, and all of a sudden, all of these phrases started channeling through me. I have them on my phone, so I can't read them now. But I felt Hera like nobody's business because I've been like, where are you? Like, where are you? And she verbatim, and this sounds very in alignment with like her and other gods, goddesses, she was like, I need you to stop asking me for things. She's like, I only want to give it because I want to give it. She's like, don't, like, no more asking. I'm going to give it. You're going to see it. You're going to love it. And just continue to say thank you. She's like, no. And I was like, okay, sure thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a very stern but like loving tone. I'll read it to you after, and maybe I'll share some of it in the Patreon. So if you want to come love into it. Our even the $5 tier, you'll get to see it. But oh my gosh,
that, yeah, I think that's a good point. Just whether you work with a deity or not, in even a spiritual practice, just the universe, it's like, I think that was something when I first started like learning about manifestation, like every day was about like asking for what I wanted, and it's actually more about like just freaking living. And yeah. Yeah, it's like, you know, we always say, like, being about it rather than, like if ask for what you want. That is an important step, is to ask, but don't repeat it every day.
Over and over.
You know, it's like, then you're not surrendering properly. Mm-hmm. And also, like, we don't want to be in a state of want constantly. Of, like, I want this and I want that and I want, right, want.
It's a state
like,
of lack.
I want to feel better. I want to be healed. I want to release this. I want to, it's like, okay, well, why don't you just enjoy about how much stuff you've already manifested? Why don't you enjoy, like, take some time for just pure enjoyment? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can't be in a state of asking all the time.
I can't wait to read it to you. It was so, so clear. Like, I don't, no more asking me for anything. She's like, the more you ask, the less I'm going to give you. It was like,
petty.
She is. But if you know about her in mythology, she was extremely petty.
Yeah.
Extremely.
Yeah.
You know, sense. Like her husband would just go off and do whatever he would do.
Yeah.
And then she would like turn that woman into a lamb or a dog or something. She would just do whatever.
Better be careful. Next time you're on the show, there's going to be a lamb sitting in the chair next to me.
My. That was my lamb impression. Thank you.
That was really good.
Thank you so much. Let's I'm very see. Talented.
Do you have a favorite vampire or werewolf movie?
No.
No?
No.
I'm obsessed with them. Do I'll you? Tell you mine.
Yeah. Thanks for asking. I was going to.
I know. I asked the question because I wanted it.
Okay, okay.
Obviously.
Like, Sadie, what's your favorite genre of song to write? No? All right, how about me?
Pop.
Okay, okay,
tell
me. I wrote
some pop songs when I was little. I thought they were pretty good.
I'm sure they're
my
amazing.
Dad would edit them for me. God bless him.
Oh.
They're always wildly just taking my favorite song and writing different words into it, and it was pretty much the same. Anyways, my favorite werewolf movie is American Werewolf in London. It is so fucking good. It's like a masterpiece. It's beautiful. It's got funny moments. It'll take you through every range of emotion. It's so good. If you haven't watched it, one of my favorite all-time movies. And then my favorite vampire movie, I don't know. I have a, okay, what's, oh, fuck, what's it called? I'm blanking. Oh, From Dawn Till Dusk is one of my favorite vampire movies. It's a Quentin Tarantino classic. It's got George Clooney. Quentin Tarantino's in it. And I can't remember her name when she's young. An actress that was in a lot of stuff in like the 90s. But it's crazy. It's so good. And I always get Penelope Cruz mixed up with one other actress that's really gorgeous. And it's the other one that's in the movie. But she's like the vampire queen. She's so sexy in it.
Is it Salma Hayek?
Yes, Salma Hayek.
I don't know why I knew that, but
I get them mixed up. I don't know why. And she's the vampire in it. One of my all-time favorite movies. I'll go with that one. Those are my two.
My favorite movie that is a little creepy but does not have vampires or werewolves is an Alfred Hitchcock movie called Rear Window.
Oh, I don't.
I think I talked about it a year ago. I remember mentioning it. It's so good and suspenseful, but like nothing, like at the end something happens. But if you're like, I want to be a little spooked and intrigued, but I can't deal with like gore, you'll like Rear Window.
Yeah, Alfred Hitchcock has good movies. I don't know if I've seen that one though. I'm already scared of birds, so birds really... It's not a good one for me to watch. That one was really stressful.
You know, Tippi Hedren in that movie. Let me tell you, I know some facts about Tippi Hedren.
Okay.
The first is that she had a horrible experience filming that.
I heard that.
Because they, like, didn't warn her about things, and they would just attack her to get, like, a real reaction. Anyways, not kosher. But she went on to open a big cat conservatory. It's called Shambhala. It's, like, an hour away. My mom visits and you go to Shambhala and it's a big cat rescue.
Boo, should we go? Shambhala. You're a little cat.
Tippi Hedren. And then Tippi Hedren's granddaughter is what's her face? Dakota something, who was in 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, I never saw that movie either.
But you know that actor?
I know who you're talking
her
about.
Daughter
I can picture
is
her.
Melanie Griffith, and her granddaughter is Dakota something.
Oh, wow.
They're all... look at that gene pool. My gosh.
Yeah. Wow. Crazy.
I don't know much about spooky things, but I do know about Hollywood. I can tell
and
you
And I
about
don't
that.
Know anything about any actors or actresses, really.
Oh, my gosh. Put us on the same trivia team. Ooh,
I'm really
slay.
Bad at trivia.
Oh, what spooky trivia?
If it was specifically spooky trivia, I might be able to do it.
Put me on your trivia team.
Because I don't know if you've noticed in all these 96 episodes, but I can pull like the story or the factoid out, but you want the reference? I have no idea where I learned it.
I've got it.
I have no names. Names do not store in here, but something's interesting, I'll keep it.
I'm a beast. I'm a werewolf at trivia.
I am not. I'm more of a lamb.
No. Oh, the cutest lamb.
I'll just sit here and look cute.
Oh my gosh. Well, this was a very fun episode.
So fun. Vampires, werewolves. Oh my. We did it.
We did it. We hope to see you at our Manifestation and Magic Masterclass. The topic is how to get everything you want. It's on October 19th. Even if you think you can't make it, sign up. You will have the replay for 7 days before it expires. So the link is everywhere. I'm sure it'll be in the notes and at our Instagram. Sign up. It's completely free. And there's like already like 40 people signed up. And we're excited to meet more of you and hang out with you and share, I think, a very big very big juicy secret to manifestation.
Yes, it's going to be really fun. We'll see you on Wednesday, October 19th at 6 p.m. Make sure you're registered before then so you can access the replay if needed. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Goddess Hangs. I'm at I am Sadie Olson.
I'm at Juliet.Piper. We have a special guest next week. You'll have to wait and see. It's going to be really fun.
Ooh, who's it going to be?
More spooky stories ahead.
Yay! We hope you're loving Spooktober.
Spooktober with Goddess Hangs.
With Goddess Hangs. We'll see you next week.
Bye. Bye.